Tune in to The Divine Frequency. Chip and Lisa St. Clair help you turn your passion into purpose. This is The Divine Frequency on Empower Radio. Now here are your hosts, Chip and Lisa St. Clair.
Hello and welcome to 2016.
Hi, everyone.
And another episode of The Divine Frequency. This is Chip St. Clair, and I'm here with my wife, my best friend, as always, Lisa. Hope all of you had a divine and a happy new year. For the next half hour, we're going to guide you and inspire you to tune out the static, to tune out the drama of life, and tune back into that frequency at which you were meant to resonate, the divine frequency. So today, before we get started, let's quiet our minds as we do here. Let's close our eyes and visualize a place of tranquility without the drama, a place of complete harmony within. Let's see, today, Lisa and I are in a secluded log cabin. I don't know, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, far away from the concrete jungle. No deadlines, no traffic, no crowds of people with thousands of demands. Just a roaring fire and a crackling in front of us and a cup of tea or, you know what, I feel like hot chocolate. A cup of hot chocolate in our hands. And mine has those little marshmallows bobbing up and down. What about you, Lisa? Tea or hot chocolate?
I think I'll go with a little bit of tea. I'm just getting over being sick. So.
Okay.
Clear liquids.
And outside, the snow is falling gently, quiet and peaceful. And here we are, cozy and warm and ready to listen to what the universe is trying to tell us. And of course, our producer Dylan is here with us, stoking the fire with a poker, all stretched out on the bearskin rug. Looks comfortable. He actually brought that rug with him, which is kind of cool. Before we fully deep dive into our topic for today, I just want to bring us back to the fundamental basis of our show, a premise that relies on the scientific principle that we, as quantum physicists have concluded, are all beings of energy, held together at the subatomic level by nothing but a particular frequency of vibration. As solid as we seem, our eyes deceive us. There's no crazy glue or, for this generation, gorilla glue bonding one particle to another. It's all based on the harmony of the frequency, that particular energy signature of subatomic particles and their neighbors, hence the divine frequency. Therefore, when you say that that principle also applies to us at our level, in our daily lives, and in our relationships. And here on the show, we've compared our theory to those old-fashioned radios with the knobs you have to turn to be able to tune into whatever station you want, to tune to the right frequency and tune out the static. Well, we, just like that radio, we're receivers too. And we have to tune out the static that is constantly bombarding us. Emotional pain, fear, depression, illness, dysfunctional relationships, anger, jealousy, grief. So that we can start picking up the messages that we were meant to hear. That we deserve to be happy. That we deserve to be loved. That each one of us deserves to be fulfilled in our dreams and in our goals. And we are reminded of the goals we set for ourselves, especially at this time of year. At the beginning of a brand new year filled with new possibilities, new opportunities. Yet what really makes, when you think about it, what really makes 2016 any different than 2015? We do. Our choices, our intentions, the perspective that we set for ourselves. The expectations we demand of ourselves. We tell ourselves things like, I need to lose weight. I need to stop procrastinating. Or I need to be nicer at work, or laugh more, or drink less, or be a better friend. What makes these things, these resolutions, any more possible this month as opposed to last month? Well, it's because we've decided it so. We, as a society, have decided that between 11:59 p.m. on December 31st and 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, that something magical happens.
I know I almost feel kind of energized at that point, because I think we allow things to kind of go on sometimes, and they, you know, we think, well, we'll deal with it later. We'll correct that later. I don't like it now, but, you know, somehow I'll get control of this. And I know that, you know, as the year ends, I'm always thinking, come on, you know, it's time. I got to change this. I got to get control of my life, and I've got to be a better person, or, you know, for me, lose some weight, what happened to our teenage figures, you know,
holiday cookies.
Yeah.
Indian.
I mean,
food.
I got to live a little,
I know. Do have to live. Right.
But, you know, it's so easy to let things, go, and then they spiral so far out of control, and you think, you know what, this isn't me. I don't feel like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the year was nearing an end and a new one beginning, I was kind of excited, because I was thinking, you know what, this is going to be a different year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, because we, set this arbitrary marker in our lives, in our minds, a signal, a marker, suddenly a corner is turned in that minute that the ball drops, a bridge is crossed, and whatever it is, we perceive a change has taken place, and so we too must change for the better. We decide, without realizing it, that we must find a way to not only change, but to resonate at a higher frequency than the year before, because that's really what we're talking about, is improving things.
Yeah, so because it's amazing how things we can say, and it's not for vanity, at least in my case, that I want to lose some weight, because, you know, you get these aches and pains in the back, and, you know, you're more tired, and your clothes, you're now thinking about the next size you're going to need to buy. And so you've got to get control of it before you let it take over. And, I think always having that guide of saying, you know, all right, I mean, we can't control everything. Things are going to happen, and you're going to have to bend a little, and you're going to have to go along with things that you may not like at the time. But when we can say, okay, all right, enough's enough.
Mm.
And it may not have to be at the end of the year. Maybe it needs to be,
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we set this marker for this drastic change we decide to make. And it always has to be, it seems like, a big thing. But, you know, I guess what we're talking about today, and what we'd like to share with our listeners today, what we'd like you to out there to understand, is that you can elevate your frequency anytime, any day, any hour, any minute. The problem with putting so much emphasis on that one time each year is the risk of falling short or setting those expectations, those changes in your life so high that you cannot reasonably meet them. And then you feel you failed. And that's a difficult place to get out of. That lowers your frequency. So, you know, we got to talking over the holiday break, and Lisa and I were thinking, what if we gave ourselves the gift of a New Year's resolution suddenly somewhere in the middle of February or July? What if you simply committed to change, period, to elevate your frequency in some small way every week or even every day? You'd be surprised how suddenly all those other goals you had in your sights will start to come together. Because at the end of the day, the big goals you have, whether it's, I don't know, embarking on a new career or finishing school or cutting an addiction or improving your vocabulary, they are all achieved by smaller incremental achievements.
Small steps.
That's right.
You do enough of those small steps enough times in a short amount of time. When I talk about just little goals, and it's amazing how you start, it becomes addicting almost.
It does. It does. And I think that's part of the psychology of it, is conditioning ourselves toward a specific habit. You know, we are creatures of habit. And if we say, okay, I want to lose 40 pounds, that is a great goal. But when we don't break that up into bite-size, realistic, smaller goals, like I just want to lose 3 pounds by the end of this month, or 5 pounds, then if we slip 1 week and say we don't lose any weight, all we see is that big 40 pounds blinking in our sights.
And sometimes we give up completely, and then we go on these binges where now we're
mad and
going
now
backward
we're
here,
drowning our sorrows in hot fudge sundaes and Indian food. You know, whatever your drug of choice is when it comes to food, right? But they are all achieved by doing these smaller incremental goals, by tuning that radio dial ever so slowly toward the divine frequency. So let's talk about some examples of those small things that happen to make a big difference.
Well, I remember when we were grocery shopping and had to return some bottles. Had a huge bag of them because they'd been gathering, kind of piling up. And we walked in there. This was a week and a half ago, and noticed this guy that was in the corner, and you could tell he was down on his luck and just keeping to himself. He had a whole cart full of bottles, and I had planned on, for such a long time, it had been a few weeks that we had this huge black bag of garbage or of bottles, and I'd planned on grocery shopping, so we're going to use the bottle returns and then we'll get that taken off the bill. So anyway, we're popping the bottles in and getting the credit for it. And then I just couldn't help but notice this guy. I don't know. I felt bad for him. And so I'm watching him kind of out of the corner of my eye. And then I notice a lady next to me walk up to him, and she hands him her bottle slip. And the smile on his face, I mean, he turned from this sad, helpless, hopeless guy to, it was as if she had handed him like a check for $10,000 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many bottles she had, but it was just, and then that started something. then the guy in the corner did the same thing to him. And what I noticed was they weren't handing the bag of bottles. Not that that would have been a bad thing, but they literally were taking the time to put their bottles in there and get the slip and hand it to the guy. Mm. And it just, that inspired me.
Wow.
That was such a, it was such a small gesture, but such a great one to him.
Isn't that amazing how the power of a smile, his gratitude for that
was reward for me. I needed that, actually. I mean,
I know. And think about, realistically, it could have been $2 worth of bottles. $2 made that kind of difference in his mind, in his heart, in his life. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the money. It's the fact that he was cared about. And other people got to see that smile he had on his face, and us included, wanted to be a part of that. It was infectious, just to make him happy.
Well, the holiday had come, and you know, we're running here and there, and it seems like our schedules have been so busy. And I really was anticipating this time off, and just to be able to have my family over. I really look, one of the traditions we always look forward to is baking cookies and just sharing in that family, playing games and all kinds of things. And
Scrabble.
And I was sick and I felt miserable. And I, you know, it's like, it was my one time to get out, which I shouldn't have been out anyway. It was a little cold.
Sure.
And I, you know what? I don't want to say the trade-off, but the what he gave to me, the smile and just to see his happiness, was really worth more than that slip of cash back for the bottles that we had. So anyway, that really, just seeing that lady do that and then the other guy do it, it was just like, wow, yeah, that's something we do all the time. That would be... It's
the thing is, it's so easy to do, and it doesn't cost very much at all. In fact, you know, there's things you can give to people that are absolutely free. You know, I remember there was a time then that Lisa and I had a long week and we wanted to go out to eat and we planned to see a movie. And, you know, you try to time all these things. So you're going to eat at 6 so that you can be done by 7 so that you can get to the theater by 7:30 and all these things, have a particular order. And it, like I said, it had been a stressful week. We were just looking forward to just some downtime, kind of turning the phones off and enjoying the peace. And our waiter, who we had never seen before, it's not like he was familiar to us or that we were regulars, had, you know, just started engaging in a conversation about one thing or another, something more personal about his life. And it, you know, resonated with us. Now here's that term again, resonating. And so we chatted a little bit while we were eating. And in fact, as he would bring our appetizer or our food or our drinks or whatever, you know, he'd stick around and he'd talk for a bit. And we would just continue to eat and drink while he was there. And, you know, he said, no, I don't want your food to get cold. Just go right ahead. But you could tell
he needed to talk.
Yeah.
And it was about his, I remember this. It was about a family member that he had watched, had an illness and, the health had been deteriorating, and it was one of the most important people in his life, and they died, and it was his pain about this, and you could tell that he was missing
this person, yeah. And he was hurting, and he was at work. We all know that feeling of having to carry on with real life while we're suffering inside. And, you know, we're watching the time, you know, we can't help but already have these plans in our mind, but we're watching the time go and, you know, our dinner's there and he's still talking. And, you know, at one point I just kind of looked at Lisa and we realized, you know, this is more important to him this evening than it is to us. And it didn't cost us anything to skip the movie and stick around and know we were going to miss it. And, oh, we'll see it another day. And spend time talking and listening to him. And you know, he hugged us afterward. I don't know how many people out there ever hug their waiters or their waitresses, but it's, you know, it's one of those things where you have to.
And you can say we gave him nothing. We gave him nothing more than the tip that we would have given any waiter that, you know, did a fine job. But it was
compassion. Yeah. It was the gift of compassion. And Speaking of which, there's, you know, I don't know if you've caught the internet viral YouTube episode of the pizza guy in tears because in some town. I don't even know where it was, what state it was, but this church had ordered a pizza just shortly before the holidays, and he was, you know, it was earlier in the afternoon. I think it was around noon or one, and so he made the delivery, and he, when he got into the church, they called him up to the front. He's kind of awkward, you know, because he's just delivering a pizza, but the whole congregation was there, and they brought him up, the pastor brought him up to the front and took the pizza and said, thank you. And they said, here's your tip. And the guy is describing this on the YouTube video, if you've seen this, the pizza guy. And he's in tears and you're wondering, what did they do? And they gave him a tip of a little over $700 that they had collected and wanted to help him out. I guess he was battling addiction. He had just gotten out of a rehab facility and he was trying to put his life back together and he was struggling to get by. And to think that these random strangers that didn't even know him cared enough to collect money was amazing. Compassion is the greatest gift you can give anybody.
We know $700 isn't going to change his world. I mean,
this isn't $1 million.
It was the compassion you could see that touched this man.
It's a representation.
This is what he needed.
And so do you notice a pattern here? Do you see that the little things that make a big difference involve raising someone else's frequency? You set yourself in this habit, and I guarantee that your own frequency will rise. But you can't do it for praise. I mean, don't anonymously go shovel the snow out of your neighbor's driveway and then post pictures of yourself doing it on Facebook. That's kind of defeating the purpose. It actually cheapens the grace of your act of kindness. It doesn't necessarily have to be anonymous. I mean, you can pay for the person's cup of coffee behind you in line. You know, one of the things I thought was kind of neat, recently, you know, how we do guest teaching in at-risk schools, and one of the at-risk high schools, there was a young woman where we teach creative writing and art and yoga, and she's struggling. She was telling us about how her mom and her family at the house, the stove's broken. They have no stove. They have no working refrigerator. They have to try to find ways to eat out all the time. It's hand to mouth. You know, they're always trying to find a ride because they can't even afford a car. I mean, not having a stove.
Her mom dealing with depression and in the hospital, and she's now become the mom of her siblings, and she's got to take care of them. And
so she's trying to think of how to make enough money so that she can help her mom out and herself out. And this is a 16-year-old girl. And suddenly a friend in the classroom comes up and says, you know, can I borrow a dime so I can get some, I'm a dime short for this vending machine. And she reaches into her change purse and pulls out a quarter and says, here you go. I mean, it's a quarter that she couldn't spare. She's talking about how little she has, but it's an example of giving and compassion. If you really want to challenge yourself to raise your frequency, do some random act of kindness when you're sad or when you're tired or when you feel you can't afford it, like this young lady did. It's easy to be gracious when everything seems to be going your way, but try doing it when it's not going your way. So our producer, Dylan, is poking around at the dying embers in the fireplace, which means to us that our time is up for this episode. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Divine Frequency. On the next episode, we're going to explore more on the frequency of what we give.
So we're proud to say that The Divine Frequency is made possible by our advocate. Have you or someone you know been injured, such as a car accident or a slip and fall? That's when you need legal help. Call 586-997-HELP. These are compassionate and yet smart injury lawyers who think the way you do. They call it injury law healing. That's 586-997-HELP. There's no fee unless you win.
We want to thank Empower Radio, my good friend and fellow Empower host, John Schalter of The Butterfly Moment. I encourage you all to tune into that show and to listen to archived episodes of The Divine Frequency. You can visit empowerradio.com. For more information about our work with St. Clair Butterfly Foundation, you can visit scbf.org. Take your life back, not as it could be, but as it should be. Keep tuning in to The Divine Frequency.